And welcome, 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 and good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your brand conversation here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And you're in the company of me, Dwight, as we end off this last session for this week. I say last session for this week, but we are taking a bit of a twist, guys, in terms of, for this Friday, getting a little bit more relaxed and talking about discussion points closer to our hearts, closer to our where we grew up, meaning our roots, and closer to our, upbringings and how we understand the world around us. Now, ultimately, what I'm getting into is taking a look at cultural festivals, because for today's discussion, and this is born, not technically born out of, but it does link into the discussion I had with Kanjengo Kamgonyoko last night on the business and economic zone with regards to cultural tourism. Now, you might be asking me, so Dwight, what does this have to do with branding? Well, ultimately, it is everything to do with branding. And this is for the world around us, the world that we live in, and the world that we have to interact with on a daily basis. Because I'm speaking for today, in today's discussion point, we're going to take a look how a cultural festival that was recently concluded, that being the Nama Cultural Festival that took place in Kiatmanswoop, which is indicated as the umbrella festival because one of the members of the organizing committee that I spoke to, Mr. Paul Thomas, indicates it as that there can be smaller festivals taking place. This is also linking towards that there were two earlier this year, but the one meant for Kiatmans is the longest standing one that has taken place. Now, It took place recently, just in last week. However, the aspect for that was in terms of looking at the success of the festival. What made it successful? What made the turnout currently under the COVID cloud that still is hanging over the world such a success? Because internally, guys, much of the discussion for festivals is all about bringing consumers, bringing people to buy in, to support, to just have a great time at such a festival. Now, on that note, this is the discussion with Mr. Paul Thomas.
Paul Thomas, thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us here, me and the listeners of Eagle FM. And our discussion is centering on, making a culture, especially a culture, and how to market a culture. Now, the reason I'm talking to you, Paul, is with regards to the recently held Nama Traditional Festival or Cultural Festival that was that was held in Kiatmans. And on that note, Paul, can you just, for that matter, give a little bit of background regarding the festival itself? And then in that same space, our next question, which will lead to my next question, was in terms of marketing a culture, what is, number one, the pros and the cons? What are the good sides and sometimes what might be a hurdle? Not a problem, but rather a hurdle.
Yeah, thank you very much. The Nama Festival had this, the one that we had this year was the third Nama Festival. We had two previous festivals, but due to Corona, we were not able to have a festival. And the third festival was really now something extraordinary again, because people have been so thirsty of the festival, because it has became, it is now part of our calendar that we know now. In the month of May, we will be having a festival each year. It has become an annual event for the Nama community. Of course, as you have asked, what are the hurdles? But of course, I would love to first start off with the achievements, what we have achieved, and in terms of the festival. The festival was really a success, because the turnout was so marvelous and it was so huge, like, for instance, we had international, not international, but let me say, the Namas in from South Africa, and also the Namas from Botswana, and so on. So it was really a successful festival.
All right, right. Now, Paul, one of the notions always about festivals is to, give people that fun factor, that feel good that enjoyment element. Just to share with our listeners, and I'm still on the marketing aspect. How did you guys?
Yes.
How is the idea of the festival marketed? How is it sold to not just the community but also broader?
Yeah, the festival has been not only the community, but let me first start off locally. You know, we have been marketing it through the social media, which is the popular platform, and then through the traditional communication methods like the radio and television and so on. And really the festival committee has been really good at, was very good at marketing this on all the platforms like the NPC and paid airtime and Good Morning Africa and so, Good Morning Namibia and so on. So it was really marketed. And also internationally, because we have friends internationally, like for instance, Germany and so on. We had friends with our previous festivals. We had friends from South Africa, from Germany, from all the other places where who have been indicating that they are really interested into this into the festival and so on.
From there, Paul, and you, I'm, you know, just to give a little bit of insight to the listener. The festival, you indicated that the first festival in our sort of like earlier discussion was way back in 2008, right?
Yes,
first umbrella one, should we rather
say.
Now, from there, Paul, in terms of taking the whole idea forward, you know, if we have to look at the main, you know, what is currently happening, where social media is like becoming this very strong medium to communicate and market or advertise functions, you know, was it very easy for you guys, the organizing committee, to, number one, try and adopt to social media? Or was it just a blend, like you mentioned, using traditional and then the social media?
I should say both. But as I said, as you have also alluded to, the social media has become a powerful tool, you know. It's like you can, for instance, you can design a poster and you just say the Nama Festival is taking place on this date from this time to this time, and it catches everybody's mind and so on. So we really didn't have any challenge in terms of social media and to try to reach the audience, the broader audience.
Then also, Paul, if we have to take a look at cultural festivals, do you think these are important, you know, important tourist events that can be tapped into, meaning like it can become like a regular thing when Namibians know, hey, there's a festival happening in Kitmans. There's one happening in Swakop.
Absolutely. Because, you know, these festivals are not, I mean, for instance, let me talk about the Nama Festival. What we have, what the objective and the idea behind this is that we only don't want to have a festival where people come together, have fun, have traditional meals, you know, have nice conversations on, but we also want to educate the future generation and those ones who are upcoming. For instance, me myself, there are so many things that I don't know about my culture and my tradition, you know. For instance, we had a with the just past festival, there was the main event was the how in the past the wedding was done, you know. Nama traditional weddings were done from the beginning, and it was done at the festival. It was a real marriage. Was a real marriage where people have been, you know, where they have knot the ties, you know.
I thought it was a guy asking.
It was not a symbol demonstration. It was a real wedding.
Because I thought he was asking for wife. He was asking her hand only there.
Yeah. No. He the event was the event started, I mean, on Wednesday, before the festival started officially on Friday, there was already, during the week, there was already those built-up events where the men must now come to the wife, the men's family must now come to their wife's family and see the man has now to ask her that he must be married. And so this event took place, this process took place until, let me say, first day where then they got engaged, and then we had the wedding on Friday we had this where the man has to slaughter and the wife has to slaughter again and so on, and exchange food and meat and so on. So this is part of the traditional process when you have a purely traditional wedding. So Saturday we had this wedding where they got married at the cultural village on at the venue where the festival took place. So it was a real wedding.
And it sounds like it was a really exciting event.
Gusa etokoro lyohunga. Lipopera nyamoge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno ruganse sungumi. Mokutura mwe hundiro lyeyo wamba zuma okoko, ndimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantantatu zime, tatu e utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now we get back to where we left off with that discussion and continue with Paul Thomas just talking about the successes that were achieved in the organizing and hosting of the said cultural festival with regards to the marketing and branding part.
Paul Thomas,
a simple demonstration. It was a real wedding.
Because I thought he was asking for a wife. He was asking her hand only there.
No. The event started, I mean, on Wednesday, before the festival started officially on Friday, there was already, during the week, there was already those built-up events where the men must now come to the wife, the men's family must now come to their wife's family and see the man has now to ask her that he must be married. And so this event took place, this process took place until, let me say, first day where then they got engaged, and then we had the wedding on Friday we had this where the man has to slaughter and the wife has to slaughter again and so on, and exchange food and meat and so on. So this is part of the traditional process when you have a purely traditional wedding. So Saturday we had this wedding where they got married at the cultural village on at the venue where the festival took place. So it was a real wedding.
And it sounds like it was a really exciting event as well.
Yeah, it was a really exciting event because, you know, there's so much that we have with the Western influence on our cultures. We have modernized things and so on. And, you know, at the reception, it was very simple. You know, we had simple dishes like you had the instant intestines, you had the normal meat, and you have afal, and they call it afal and so on. So, I mean, it was so exciting to see. But this is also, so we have actually moved away from how we have been doing things in the past, how our grandparents and our parents have been doing things in the past. Yeah,
exactly. Now, Paul, can you just walk some of the attractions through that were there? Because ultimately, I also heard that there was like a marching band from the Ovaherero or from the OTA guys or representatives.
No. We had the march. We had the Namibian police brass band was leading the march, and you know people were so excited. In fact, because I don't know when last we had a national brass band
participating
in Kidmans, and it was participating in. It was such an excitement for the Kidmansop community at large, not only the Nama community, but the Kidmansop community at large. And that was now the build up to the festival. And one could have seen, if you have watched the videos and so on, when we marched from the bridge towards the stadium, people were so excited. Some people even forget that they are still at work, and they ran out of the offices and they were screaming and saying, "We are joining you later," and so on. So it was really an excitement, you know, because we also come from Corona, where we have COVID is still amongst us, but people have been, people were so excited about, you know, like, okay, we didn't have our festival for almost two years.
Exactly. Now, Paul, just for the listener, you know, who was not there or could not make it, in terms of this, is it going to be an annual attraction going ahead now from this year?
Yeah, it will be an annual attraction because, as I have said earlier on, the festival is now a calendar event in the Nama community. Because wherever I am, whether I'm in Swakop or in Oshakati or in Katima or in Lutritz or Walfers or wherever, when it's the festival, I need to be there, because we have we will see how the dates fit, but the idea is to have the festival in the month of May. That's the objective. So that when I go back from the festival now, I must now start to prepare for the next festival, be it the clothes, be it the shoes, what to wear.
Just on a last thought.
I also want to add something on what you said on is it just a festival? At this festival, we had panel discussions also. There was one subject on the language, you know, and the linkage between the San community and the Nama community. So those are the interesting topics that we need to. We just don't want, it must be, the festival also has an educative part of it.
Now, Paul, just before we end off, now I still want to just take a look at, you know, going ahead in terms of how the marketing of a festival would take. If you can just share with me, how long did you guys have to, you know, prepare, organize, get everything together up until this point?
Let me say, actually, because we were not sure of the COVID thing, you know, whether we didn't want to give some sort of excitement to the audience out there, and then said, oh, but we are calling off. So we were really not so ready, but we were saying, okay, it seems like COVID is going down, and so. Then we decided to, okay, now let's go out in full steam. So, but let me say, from last year, we already prepared ourselves, you know, behind the scenes and underground and so on, so that we just have the most basic things in place. So by January, as we said, now let's take it now really by its horns and run with it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but we, you know, every time we are raising the bar, this time we also raised the bar, you know, in terms of, like, for instance, bringing the police brass band and so on. So every year now, after the festival, we had this festival, we will now go back to the drawing board and see where the loopholes and so on, and where do we need to panel bid and so on. But that's the idea, so that we can raise the bar for next year. But the interesting part was also that you know some people, like, for instance, we had a Gavanko traditional group that says we want to go and learn about the Nama culture, and that is the unity in diversity. You had people who are not Namas, but you had them there at the festival, enjoying the meat, enjoying the music, enjoying the event with us, and that is what we are, what we actually want also, that we need to learn from each other culture, because we are interlinked now.
Yeah.
We are now interlinked. Yeah.
Exactly.
So the diversity, the core thing is unity in diversity. Yeah.
And then just one other thing I want to ask also, Paul. I heard that there was some sense that there was no alcohol sold.
Yeah, you know, that is a position that the talk committee have took, that we will not be selling any alcohol because it doesn't make sense, Dwayne, when you talk about culture and then you are selling alcohol and people are at the festival moving around with beer bottles and so on, seeing a drunk person. Is that culture that we want to instill and learn or teach our children? Of course not.
Exactly.
Of course not. Yeah. That's why we don't entertain alcohol, selling of alcohol, of putting up people, like, but it's a festival. Why can we not have a big beer tent? And they say, no. This is not a. What do they call an expo or a kasi vibe thing or whatever? This is where we need to learn and teach our children the values of the Nama community.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And on that note, Paul, if you still have something else to share before we end our discussion, you can still have the opportunity to do so.
Yes. What happened was that at this event, we also had the bottle swaps captain from South Africa, and he has invited the Namibian Nama community of Namibia to what they call the International Nama Festival in Stellenbosch. And we are so ready. This will take place in September next year, if God's will. So it will take place in Stellenbosch. And people were asking, why Stellenbosch? But then the captain was narrating the history, why Stellenbosch, because there is a very important site in Stellenbosch where this Nama Festival will be hosted. It will be the International Nama Festival, where the South African Khoi and the Botswana and so on in Namibia will be coming together. That's
exactly
why it's called the International. It will be the first event. It will be the first of its kind, called the International Lama Festival in Stellenbosch. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we are looking forward to it. And thank you very much. And we must, as I have said, we must learn from each other's culture.
Exactly. Paul, Paul, thank you once again for taking the time to
talk. Ushua kokusha oshikwiririmba oshina hepero momunyo vyetu peva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ova puike, ovo nongo, nova harupu okuku vatera. Tunovi tenda peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa weather ovi tenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omana omanene shimuna omaile no topra. Tuvada po mura rimbui o Naismith, mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts, tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga, no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Now we come back, and as you heard there with that discussion that I had there with Paul Thomas, who is one of the organizing committee members for the recently held Nama Cultural Festival that took place just this past weekend, or the weekend just before that. Now, the important thing is, guys, it was not about the aspect of the festival even. Let's understand, a festival itself sells itself. It already sells itself, already promotes itself. All it has to do, and all the mechanisms around it, is all about how quickly you generate publicity for it, meaning when do you market or when do you advertise said festival, and when do you, as the organizers, start getting everything together. Now, we've got to understand, guys, that some factors have to be taken into consideration. Now, most of the discussions internationally are centered around music festivals, for that matter, in terms of, artists having to be coordinated and ensuring that their schedules are not, you know, as overly burdened as possible. Because the festivals that exist, as mentioned, the big ones across the world, which are mostly just music festivals, the ones that we see the most often about. For example, like in the UK, they've got Glastonbury. There's a whole bunch that they have in the US, including even Coachella for the younger generations that love talking about the latest pop stars. And all these are music festivals. But none of them actually talk about cultural festivals, for that matter. Now, there are some key lessons to take away from here. Now, as Mr. Thomas indicated there in a discussion with regards to the marketing exercise that they had to embark on, it did involve some paid for marketing. It did involve some advertising slots. So, what are we looking at? They made use of a hybrid strategy, that being making use of digital marketing alongside that of the traditional marketing platforms, i.e. going through print or going through the communication. No, going through the broadcast mediums. So ultimately, what does this point to? Well, this points to the continuous reinforcement that the message is unchanged, that this event is going to take place, and that you need to save the date in your calendar. Now, ultimately, if we have to look at festivals, guys, festivals contribute immensely to feelings of social cohesion. Many such celebrations focus on cultural or ethnic topics and seek to inform community members of traditions, of the tradition that is being displayed or that is on display within said festival. Now, the very lovely thing here is that Namibia itself has consistently, guys, there are calendar events that take place every year throughout the rest of the country. Here in Windhoek, you always have, it was always the annual celebration in terms of the Vika, or sometimes known as, that comes from the local Namibian-German community in terms of celebrating the Vika celebrations. Then you also have the Olofuka celebrations that also used to take place in the north. I just do not know if it took place last year. Then ultimately also you get the various kinds of other groups that also have their own celebrations. For example, some of the get-togethers that you find in the Herero community, as well as and also some of the performances that most tourists enjoy from the various Sun tribes here in the country. Now, ultimately, that is just in a nutshell of what takes place, what is sometimes on display, and even, you know, what you can enjoy on a specific time period. But if you're visiting, for example, one of the other groups in Namibia, like the Himba, who give you a sense of their culture for you to see, live, stay there for a little while with them, because it is a continuous thing for them. It's not just a one-time event festival. Everybody comes together. You know, they make money from that, because ultimately that's the festival's goal, to showcase and to develop, to generate some form of income and revenue to plan for next year's festival again. Ultimately, it's also about leaving a lasting impression on visitors, on tourists, and so forth. Now, guys, this is linking in with a discussion that I had last night with Kanjengo Kamgonyoka. Once again, the cultural tourism aspect, the importance of it, how this can be a gemstone of itself. Not a gold mine necessarily, but it can be a gold mine, but a gemstone of itself. You heard there from Mr. Thomas in terms of where people from all across the country came to Kitmanswil. Now, I have to be honest, guys. If we have to think about tourist destinations in the country, Kitmanswil is not one such destination that would come to the front or would automatically jump to the forefront of your list of destinations in the country. No. You might jump to Spitskop. You might jump to Sources Flay. You might jump to Swakop. You might jump to, who else is there? Namatwini in the Etosha Park. You might jump to the entire Zambezi. But if you have to think about going to a town, going to a specific town for that matter, Swakop would be the first one to your list of destinations, that now being urban centers. Second one would most probably be Windhoek, if you're not from Windhoek. And then ultimately going from there, well, the only other one would be Hentys Bay for that matter. Now, right there, guys, you need to see the importance of such aspects. Oh, I forgot another town. If we had to think about towns, Tsumeb itself has such a rich history as well. For that matter, actually, guys, whoever's from Tsumeb, I'm probably the most envious person in this country for anyone that comes from Tsumeb, because Tsumeb itself is a very beautiful town. Even though it has a mining and industrial history, it was a town developed, based, built, brought up on an industry, specifically mining. The same also for Walvis Bay, the same also for Ludritz. But essentially, Tsumeb itself has now become one such type of tourist destination even. Now, it's a beautiful town. Lay out everything. It's a beautiful town. But let's step away from there, because Tsumeb is also not one of the easiest towns in this country that will come to your mind immediately. If you've never been there, you wouldn't recall them. You wouldn't recall the town. But if you've been there, you would appreciate the beauty, the serenity, the layout of the town itself. Now, as we come from that discussion, we get into some tips, some discussion points that you need to consider when you are looking at a festival. Now, this one aspect gives us like 8 pointers. I say 8 pointers because it's all about, how to allow the press, journalists or photographers or media entities or media houses access to a festival. Essentially, it's about making it as easy as possible for the press to access said event. That's now within the parameters that everything is, that there is some allowance given to the press in terms of providing coverage. Because sometimes you also don't want to give out free publicity for an event if they're not actually, also giving, some feedback back. Like, for example, having some paid for advertising on a specific medium's platforms, because ultimately giving them free publicity just does not balance it out in terms of the value. We have to understand, guys, everything is based upon money. So money needs to be made. Revenue needs to be generated. Now, writers, reporters, and photographers are always busy, and sometimes they are frenzied people. So giving them all the tools that they need to cover your event, for example, it's not about giving them all access. It's just give them access to talk to people, provide some form of publicity. It's essential just in that regard if you're going to host a festival. And also that you also need to have a designated communications person that can be their point of contact. Be their point of contact. Guys, you do not know what kind of a headache it is for us journalists out there if people or the event organizers do not have a designated media liaison officer. Guys, I'm sighing. Yes, I'm sighing. I'm breathing through my nose because of that. Because in most cases, it is about communicating about the events of the festival and how important it is. Now, from there, from that point, from that discussion point, you then get into the second one about you've got to know that more press, meaning more publicity, more exposure, does not necessarily mean better or wider coverage for a festival. If you're the festival organizer, having the most oversaturated press coverage does not mean it's better or wider. It doesn't. For this matter, you've got to understand that even though there will be media outlets providing coverage, the benefits or professional media officers would caution that a blanket approach alone is too simple, because you try to invite outlets and reporters who have columns that usually get syndicated and picked up on other outlets. And always try to have a house photographer images syndicated on a major wire. What does that mean? Technically, that's just for the event organizers. You should have your own photographer and most probably your own sort of like someone that can write a little statement about the event. What does that do? Well, ultimately, it allows, once again, sort of like a point of contact with regards to that. Now, this is on the publicity side of things. This is on the publicity side of things. You also have to understand that give these various outlets in terms of generating this content. Guys, this is all about publicity. And publicity links into public relations. And public relations links into the promotional strand or the promotional pillar within the marketing philosophy. So this is all about promotions. Your product is already the festival. The festival is the product. And from there, when you give in this third, in our third pointer here, when you give the press or the media something to photograph, meaning a big name person, a celebrity, a big name, whoever, cultural leader, something like that. Because I'm here in Namibia, we are all about, you know, being seen or seeing the important people at your festivals or at your events. It does not usually mean or traditionally mean a political leader. No, it can even be a traditional leader. It can even probably be a local celebrity. Give them, give the press something to write, to photograph, or to record about. Ultimately, that takes and amplifies the message of the festival even further. Now, we'll quickly be stepping into our next ad break. After that, after ad break, we'll be coming back, heading into the last leg of today's program, or this morning's program, here on Your Brand Conversation. And this is the, on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of LelaPay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital at omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital at omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now coming back from our break right there and heading into the last leg. So, we've established some first basic pointers with regards to, you know, the notion of how important it is that cultural festivals be, you know, provided some form of publicity. The reason here, guys, is that even if you are from a specific cultural group here in Namibia, even if it doesn't matter where you are, even though you are from the group itself, usually these festivals bring together, like I said, that social cohesion that importance of speaking about and getting everyone of the community, of the greater community in a country or an area or province or region together to come visit. Now, it has two functions that it provides. Providing a publicity platform for further tourism of the local area. And secondly, also generating some sort of a local revenue generation aspect. That being, you've got various goods to sell. And this is technically some of the aspects that Kanjenga also highlighted in my discussion with him last night. There are things to sell. There are things to consume. It's not just about the physical products like food stands or even, the performances coming from artists or various other discussion points, but also consumption in the broader community outside of that festival as well. Because we have to understand, guys, there would have been a lot of traffic heading through Keetmans, to Keetmans, and being in Keetmans. That means local businesses were also deriving a benefit from this festival. It's a given. It's a given. Even if it was the local fuel station down there, they were getting increased traffic. Now, as we head from those tips with regards to the coverage of festivals, you also got to understand, if you are doing festivals, you also have to organize in the following sort of like public relations format. For a festival, guys, you will always need pre-event coverage. You will always need coverage during the event. And then you will sometimes also require post-event coverage. Post-event coverage, you just have to look at your favorite football, especially with English football, even with South African football. They have pre-match coverage. Then they have post-match coverage. Post-match coverage is when they talk about the post-match press conferences that your favorite managers in football have to be involved with. You can sometimes see with a lot of them, they don't want to be there if their team had lost very badly that day. But ultimately, it is what they have to do. It's the whole media coverage element. That's how the pre- and the post-coverage platforms allow the media also to further publicize. Now, remember, guys, even though we are talking about this event or cultural events, it does bring in a fascinating aspect with regards to branding, with regards to marketing, with regards to public relations and publicity. All this is already encased within this one aspect of a festival. A festival is probably one of the best examples that you can find of an all-in-one in terms of a complete marketing approach. An all-in-one. Now, the last point just to share on is that let the event details speak for themselves. Usually it helps to have like a program. That's what they mean. Programs help because for reporters, photographers, the various media outlets, they love it when a event is worthy of their coverage because at least they know that there will be some main details, main functions, main appearances, main discussion points be taking place. So you've got to make these details stand out a little bit more by incorporating it into a program. Now, things like a quality venue, sometimes, if you have something as big as a festival, sometimes here in Namibia, we make use of stadiums, sports complexes. They are the easiest and they have the most versatility in what they can offer. Ultimately, because you already have gates, you already have catering, facilities. You already have ablution facilities because that's also important in terms of a lot of people congregating at one spot. They need toilet facilities. So you will already have toilet facilities or ablution facilities. If there is going to be a increased amount of demand coming from the broader public in terms of how they're going to visit, you always need to have backup plans, especially with ablution facilities and the catering facilities. It would be, it's ideal always to have those mobile toilets. That's great. They're always great. Ultimately, the catering facilities, they know how to operate themselves. It's usually just a thing of the more hands makes the work a lot lighter. And that would lead to the festival goers being a lot more satisfied because they can get their drink and their food a lot quicker. Even though they'll be paying, they'll get it a lot quicker. If you have too many people helping out with the catering aspect, well, you will have a lot of disgruntled people. Now, as that brings us up to the last 5 minutes, you've got to take a look at this lasting aspect with regards to festivals. And this is one key thing that Paul Thomas mentioned. It's not just about speaking about their culture or my culture element. It was also for everyone in the country who came to visit the festival to feel that they were experiencing something that is being put on display for everyone. For everyone to have a buy-in. For everyone to enjoy a day out. For everyone to enjoy a weekend away from wherever they came from. For everyone to enjoy that, hey, there's something different in this part of the country than where I live. Besides the obvious change in geography if you drive from one end of the country to another end of the country, besides that part. But ultimately, you get to see a different take on everyday life sometimes, and even in a festival sense, which is made for fun, which is there to generate some fun, to generate some sense of relaxation and enjoyment, and just having a day out with the family or with the friends. Now, when you look at this last aspect with regards to taking a long view or taking the long view when developing relationships, it's not just about the relationships being developed in terms of various communities or various aspects with regards to, you know, festival goers and also the festival organizers. It's also about the aspect in terms of how this festival will later on become an event, a calendar event going ahead. Because if you're the festival organizers and you may be eager for press coverage for a given event, you will have to try to consider it as just one of many along what will ideally be a long, sincere and mutual relationship with sort of like the media outlets. Now, I know it was talking about the media outlets in this regard in terms of how to market a festival, but you yourself as a festival organizer, you will have, well, almost like on speed dial, but you will have contacts in generating publicity for your festival. Because ultimately, it is about that, generating the publicity. Now, Thomas noted that they made use of a hybrid approach, traditional and digital. The digital was mostly that based on the social media platforms the viral aspect of some of them. For example, like with WhatsApp is technically a viral one. It establishes a grapevine communication platform, and that's how it gets bounced about. The traditional one, he mentioned it there, going to various broadcast mediums in order to market the basic details of the event. Now, just before we hit our end for today's discussion point, we've got to understand, guys, that all festivals, no matter what they look like, you've got to be sharing the details, the basic details with them way in advance and about them. And it's also about the timing of when you start marketing, because you've got to share logistical information, meaning how to gain access, where it's going to be held, and, you know, what the time and dates will be. And lastly, you've got to advise visitors to be eco-friendly, you know, not to litter or to cause some forms of pollution, and also to keep the place clean and to the best of their abilities. And lastly, you've got to remind people to take care of their health and safety, because as we just heard now from the discussion with Paul Thomas, is that under this cloud of COVID, people still had to be very cognizant, very aware of the current situation that we find ourselves, the new way of living. That being, let's just be safe. Let's just take precautions. Let's stick to some precautionary functions. Now, right there, guys, we've got to understand that ultimately, festivals usually are one-time events. Festivals are usually intangible, meaning you can't hold on to it, but you can experience it, just like a service. For example, like if you have to go to go watch a football match, either through a pay-per-view TV or you go through to the football match itself at the stadium itself, it still is a service. You can't hold on to it. You can only experience it. And your experience can be different from the person next to you in terms of how they are finding enjoyment and how they are finding entertainment from said experience. And ultimately, it's all about, you know, the lasting impression that said experience will leave with you. Now, as we heard there, this is not the only festival in the country that will be taking place for this rest of this year. But ultimately, it does point to a good start for that matter. We find ourselves here at the end of today's discussion of the brand conversation. Once again, let's see each other later tonight on the Business and Economic Zone here, where I will be bringing you everything related to business news, business talking points, as well as also getting into the nitty-gritties of everything that points towards the world of business and economics. Up next is the On the Radar team, who are almost ready to make their entrance in with regards to getting discussions for your daily bulletin and daily, you know, feed on in terms of the next talking points. For that matter, let's see each other again.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up.
Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption.
Just yummy.
We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the great white.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, on that note, that brings us to the end of the brand conversation, as I mentioned a bit earlier. Welcoming into the studio is the On the Radar team with Justicia here to, you know, steer the boat for us for the day. Justicia, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dwight?
I'm all right. It's always good to see you smile.
please stop. It's Friday. I must smile. So,
of course.
Let me be. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, on that note, I'll be taking my leave, but always, obviously, you
Bye-bye.
Can take it along. No problem.
All right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.